This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint. We are live from high above downtown Billings, Montana. We are taking phone calls and messages. The phones aren't working great, so you have to call in. Give Caden your message, the producer. He'll get it to me, and we'll talk about it, or get the Montana Talks app and send a message on there. We've got a special guest here today, Montana's Commissioner of Securities Insurance, Jim Brown. Commissioner Brown, are you there?
Hey, good morning, David. Good morning, Montana.
Good to have you. So I heard a little bit of you, Commissioner Brown, when you were down in D.C. and Aaron Flint was doing a show there, and you started talking about cryptos and something about Idaho having its own cryptocurrency, and then you guys just didn't have enough time. So I wanted to start there and just kind of, can you clarify a little bit more about what you were talking with Aaron about, and kind of finish up your thoughts on that?
You bet. Well, first, I was in D.C. last week. I attended a conference, which I guess you could style sound fiscal policy conference. We heard from the U.S. Treasurer Brandon Beach. There's a name I suspect most Montanans don't know, or that he's the U.S. Treasurer. And as part of that sound fiscal policy discussion, we were talking about a couple things. One is the seriousness of the national debt and its threat to national security, and we can touch a little bit on that this morning. But also, Montana legislature in the 2025 session earlier this year created a digital task force, of which I am serving. And the idea of this task force is to look at putting Montana in a position to meet the digital economy, would be the best way to put it. And what I was referencing in my few moments with Aaron out of Senator Daines's office is that Wyoming, state of Wyoming, is way out ahead of all the other states in this regard, and has actually created a cryptocurrency, a state cryptocurrency, that it will use to pay the debts of the state of Wyoming. Pretty innovative.
How does that work? Is it one of these sort of like one-to-one, like stablecoin types of things, or how does it work?
Yes, you got it exactly right. It's a one-to-one stable coin, and then it will be tracked on the seven forms of blockchains, and it will be backed by the full faith and credit of the United States.
Okay, and where do you say Montana is at on being able to do something like that? Does our legislature need to act, or what would need to happen?
Yeah, so a couple things to talk about. One is the legislature authorized the state of Montana, namely my office, the state auditor's office, to register digital token providers. We're the first state in the union to do that. So as of October 1st, just a month ago, we are taking registration from companies and businesses that want to be regulated in the digital token space. And I think that's good news for Montana, because it's going to bring a lot of capital into this state. But in terms of having the
Jim, let me stop you right there. We're going to go to a break here, and then we're going to come back and get the second piece. I've got another question for Montana Auditor James Brown here right after this, just in terms of sort of the benefits to Wyoming for what it's doing and what we can do here in Montana. Right back.
It's November 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Sandwich Day. Whether you enjoy turkey on wheat with mustard or a traditional PB&J with the crust cut off, everyone has their favorite sandwich. The history of the sandwich is traditionally traced to John Montague, the 4th Earl of Sandwich, an avid gambler who didn't enjoy taking long meal breaks while playing cards. So he would ask his servants to prepare meat between two slices of bread. The meal caught on with the other players, and they would end up ordering the same as sandwich. Also on this date, in 1957, the Soviet Union launches the first animal into space, a mostly Siberian husky named Laika, aboard Sputnik 2. And in 1975, advice columnist Ann Landers with Good Housekeeping asked parents in a mail-in survey, if you had to do it all over again, would you have children? 70% of the respondents said no. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for voting the Martial Arts Academy as the Billings Gazette Reader's Choice for 2025. The Martial Arts Academy was established in 2001 and teaches Taekwondo and Judo and self-defense mixed in. Martial Arts Academy Billings can help you or your family member develop confidence, discipline, focus, and awareness beginning as young as age 5. Call 406-591-9000 or visit them at 528 Lake Elmo Drive in the Heights. Try a couple of free classes at Martial Arts Academy of Billings.
Here's the tale of the Daily Med Fill. Same old pharmacy, same old bill, but those prices kept rising higher still.
Till the savings wrangler rode in, cool as can be, kept good RX, saving massively.
No plan? Don't matter none. Up to 80% off. Deals are done.
Discounts hitting harder than Ma's chili. Dang. That one little lab does all the rest.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Check good RX. Good RX is not insurance.
Montana Talks, where you get the mark. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. We are talking to Montana's auditor, also known as the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, James Brown. James, you were talking there before the break about a couple of points. I think one was that the state legislature authorized your office to basically accept registration from companies that want to be in the cryptocurrency industry, basically a way to kind of welcome those types of companies to the state. Is that basically right?
Yes. Specifically digital tokens, which is sort of like, I would consider it like a digital barter mechanism. Congress is the one right now that's authorizing use of stable coins as an actual payment system. But in order for Montana to do what Wyoming has done, which is to create a stable token, Wyoming call it the Frontier Stable Token, the legislature would need to act to authorize that. Texas has done something pretty innovative, too. They actually created a strategic Bitcoin reserve, which is about a $10 million cash of cryptocurrencies that the state legally can't touch, and which is designed to entice investors to build new business in the state. Pretty innovative stuff going out there in the states. You know, it's said that the states are the labs for democracy. I think this is a good example.
So are you, from your perspective, do you see some benefits to those states, Wyoming, Texas, from kind of doing what they're doing? If so, sort of what are those benefits, particularly of like Wyoming creating a stable coin, that type of thing? What are the actual benefits to the state, and would you support it here in Montana?
In theory, yeah, I would support it. The benefit is, Fox, is first of all, Wyoming's getting out ahead on innovation. Wyoming has always been an innovative state. They were the first state, as you probably know, David, as an attorney, to create the concept of the LLC. And the benefit to Montana citizens is what there is a lot of money in these digital currencies and a lot of investment money that's seeking a place to invest. And if Montana becomes a state that is attractive to digital investment, then we're going to bring a lot of capital into the state, which will benefit Montana's citizens.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, going back to that conference you were at, in D.C. in terms of, you know, fiscal sanity, essentially, at the federal government level. That to me ties into this whole discussion about cryptocurrencies, because let's be honest, the original driving force behind crypto and Bitcoin was people's basic realization that you cannot trust governments to maintain a sound monetary policy. And whether, you know, frankly, whether that's what you're seeing at the federal government here in the United States, with them just completely blowing out the budget, they will not cut spending. It doesn't matter how many Republicans we send to D.C., they will not cut spending. They're running trillions and trillions of dollars, you know, over what they're taking in tax revenues. That was really what was so enticing about cryptos originally, was, hey, I want to get into a currency that the government can't destroy it. At least that's how I sort of view it. And you know, so I guess tell us a little bit more about the fiscal discipline at the federal level. I mean, you think there's a chance we could actually see fiscal discipline at the federal level? And sort of how do some of what you're saying here about crypto play into that whole conversation?
Yeah, there's a lot to digest here, as you were just working through. So for your listeners, what's really interesting is the word crypto is an actual Greek word, which means hidden or secret. So as you were stating, the idea of the digital currencies, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, was to basically keep it out of federal regulation under the concerns that, as you were stating, the federal government manipulates the money supply, right? And so this was a means of developing a form of currency that would be outside government regulation. The interesting thing about the stablecoin market, which we talked a little bit about, is that it's less volatile than, say, Bitcoin, which frequently makes exponential leaps or stumbles in value, right? A lot of people look at Bitcoin sort of as a commodity that either goes up or goes down. Which is why stablecoin is the one that's being used as a form of currency. But yeah, back to the D.C. conference. Yeah, I mean, I met with – so the group I'm part of is a group of conservative state treasurers and state auditors, and we meet about twice a year to talk about sound fiscal policy. And the focus of this one is the seriousness of the national debt. Did you need to go break?
No, I don't. I think we're good.
Okay. So for your listeners, here's the facts. In March of 2025, the outstanding public debt of the U.S. totaled more than $36 trillion. $36 trillion, with public debt equaling about 124% of gross domestic product, and the debt owed per citizen rising to $107,000 per citizen. Here's what's even more concerning. More than $8 trillion of the federal debt is owned by individuals not located in the U.S., including more than $800 billion owned by Chinese government or Chinese. In fiscal year 2024 alone, the U.S. has a deficit over $1 trillion after we failed to pass a balanced budget. And by the way, we haven't passed a balanced budget in the United States Congress for almost 25 years, which is incredible. And federal tax receipts only total $5 trillion, so we were short in federal outlays totaling $6.75 million.
All right, now we are coming up. You know what's crazy about this, Commissioner James Brown, is that even a place like Argentina has actually balanced its budget. Argentina right now, a country that's defaulted on their government debt a bunch of times, they're actually running a fiscal surplus, but we can't. Here in the United States. More with Commissioner James Brown right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
A couple of wild finishes on the gridiron. Hold is down. The kick is up. Into the wind. It is good! Ryan Fitzgerald delivers. And the Panthers, a two-touchdown underdog, come into Lambeau and pull off the upset.
The Carolina Panthers stunning the Green Bay Packers 16-13 on Fox Sports. Meanwhile, the Bears, they won a wild shootout over the Bengals, 47-42. Cincinnati took a 42-41 lead with under a minute to go after they recovered an onside kick. Then Chicago's Caleb Williams hit rookie tight end Colston Loveland over the middle, and he rumbled 58 yards for the score. The guy was surrounded by about five different Cincinnati defenders, and somehow he still rumbled the remaining 30-some-odd yards into the end zone. Sam Darnold had quite a Sunday night, tossed four TDs as the Seahawks spanked the Commanders 38-14. And to add insult to injury for the Commanders' second-year quarterback, Jaden Daniels, he suffered a serious injury to his non-throwing arm. It's believed to be a dislocated elbow. Josh Allen and the Bills, they beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs for the fifth straight time in the regular season, 28-21. Now Buffalo needs to figure out a way to beat KC in the playoffs. Josh Allen, regular season 5-1 against Mahomes. In the playoffs, he's 0-4. Broncos with a game-winning field goal to knock off the Texans, 18-15. Chargers over the Titans, 27-20. Vikings, they edge the Lions, 27-24. Patriots over the Falcons, 24-23. Steelers beat the Colts, 27-20. 49ers beat the Giants, 34-24. In overtime, the Jaguars beat the Raiders 30-29, and the Rams roll over the Saints 34-10. I'm Frank Lanza.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's the tale of the Daily Med Phil. Same old pharmacy, same old bill, but those prices kept rising higher still.
Till the savings wrangler rode in, cool as can be, that good RX, saving massively.
No plan? Don't matter none. Up to 80% off. Deals are done.
Discounts hitting harder than Ma's chili. Dang. That one little lab does all the rest.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Check good RX. Good RX is not insurance.
I've worn the uniform. I have stood beneath our flag, and I have fought for what it stands for. I'm Megan Terry, and I serve in the U.S. Army. At Collins Flags, that feeling of pride goes into every single stitch because they're made right here in the USA by folks just like me. This Veterans Day, show your love for the men and women who serve. Fly a Collins American or military flag with honor. Buy yours at collinsflags.com today. That's collinsflags.com. American made, proudly waved.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're live here talking to Montana's Commissioner of Security Insurance, James Brown. By the way, if you want to call in or send a message, get a message here or question or comment to Commissioner Brown, it's 406-294-0970. Jim, you were just kind of talking there about where we're at in the federal spending and how much of that is owed by the Chinese government and affiliated entities. I mean, almost $1 trillion of our debt owned by an actual military adversary is a little bit concerning. And the overall number, the amount of debt, the fact that they're still running huge deficits, that's all a very serious concern. I think people in your position, you know, you have a lot of ability to educate the people and get the word out to Montanans about how that kind of a thing going on at the federal level impacts us. Is that kind of one of the things this group you're talking about with the conservative treasurers and auditors is doing?
Yeah, it is. No, I have an obligation as the Montana State Auditor to talk about a fiscal policy that impacts the state and might have an adverse impact on Montanans, and I can tell you the national debt is one of those. I would like to see the 2027 Montana legislature pass a resolution recognizing the seriousness of the national debt and what a national security threat this has become. Former Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, if you remember him, he was a senator from Indiana at one point. This is his quote: "Our continued plunge into debt is unsustainable and represents a dire future threat to our economy and our national security." And in that regard, I'd love to see the 2027 Montana legislature do a resolution recognizing national debt as a threat. But that being said, you know, people ask me what is the ultimate solution to the uncontrolled spending, as you were pointing out in the last segment, David, by Congress, because there just doesn't seem to be the political will to put a cap on spending. And the only way that that's going to happen is exactly what's contained in the Montana Constitution. That is that there has to be a requirement for Congress, just like the Montana legislature, to pass a balanced budget. It's the only solution. And even that's going to be problematic, even if that got done. I mean, the facts are astounding. So we're going through another federal government shutdown, as we know. Interesting story about that. When I was a much younger man, I was an aide for Senator Burns from Montana, and I was a staffer when the first federal government shutdown happened in the late 90s. But folks may not know, even with this government shutdown, discretionary spending accounts for only about 27% of the total U.S. federal budget. So because of what we would call mandatory spending or entitlement programs, Congress only is able to effectuate 27% of actual spending in this country. The rest is mandatory spending such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And then the around 13%, believe it or not, is net interest that the government pays on debt. Incredible. Can you imagine running a business this way?
No, it's absolutely absurd. And people don't realize actually that the defense spending, the number one reason, and frankly, one of the only reasons we even have a federal government, is only like 13-14%. It's right around that same figure in terms of what we're paying on interest. And you're right. I've seen projections that basically say Congress could cut 100% of all discretionary spending, and we'd still be in the deficits very shortly because of these entitlement programs, which, of course, these are Democrat programs back from the 1960s or FDR earlier than that, or Lyndon Johnson. These are Democrat programs that are obviously failed programs. They've not only destroyed our financial security, and they're going insolvent. I mean, I just saw a recent story about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. They're going to be bankrupt, completely insolvent and bankrupt by 2030, something like that. You've got, you know, Senator Rand Paul out there saying basically the only way to save these things from a fiscal standpoint in terms of Social Security is crank the retirement age to 70, which basically is going to just take it away from a lot of people that thought they were going to do it. So what I don't understand is, why is everybody so obsessed with trying to save these programs when they're failed programs? Even by their own admission, these are failed programs. Why save them? Instead, in my opinion, these things ought to be phased out over time, given back to the state so that they can be managed properly. But it's also just so absurd to see so much time and effort put into the Senate and Congress, and they're only up there debating 20 to 30% of the actual spending. I mean, kind of shows you they're not really that important.
Well, I mean, you said a lot there. Yeah, I mean, to clarify, so the Social Security and Medicare boards of trustees just projected that the Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund, which is Social Security, and the Federal Hospital Insurance Trust Fund, which is Medicare, will all be depleted in 2033 and 2036. Respectively. You know, I mentioned that I had been an aide in Congress in the 1990s. I staffed Senator Burns on the House Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee all the way, you know, some 30 years ago. And we were having these discussions as staffers then as to what to do about the fact that these programs could become bankrupt by the 2030s. And the 2030s ain't that far away, and we still don't have an answer.
Yeah, that in and of, my, I don't know if you heard the 6 o'clock hour, but my point during the 6 o'clock hour is the mere fact that the federal government is shut down and the SNAP program can just end like that, that's kind of a good indication that maybe the federal government ought not be running it. Because why should we have a program like that that people depend on for food be just subject to the whims of anytime Chuck Schumer is going to get primary by AOC? Now we have to have our SNAP, our food stamp program, get shut down for the whims of Chuck Schumer. I mean, it's the same thing with these entitlement programs. Should we really be having programs that we rely on for to protect our elderly from poverty and to provide health care to the poor, the disabled, and the elderly? Should we have those programs being run by a federal government that is this incompetent, that's literally running those programs into the toilet in the next 5-10 years? To me, the mere fact that those programs are going bankrupt in the early 2030s, that in and of itself is proof that they should not be run at the federal level. That's my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that opinion. I would say this, like I told you, I, you know, saw the first government shutdown, if you will, in the 1990s. Government shutdowns have never been positive policy tool for affecting policy change, I can tell you that. So I'm not sure what the point of a government shutdown is other than for political gamesmanship. As you stated, these are important programs and they're important to the citizens of Montana. And I don't like the fact that your ability to feed your family or to have some income in retirement is the subject to political gamesmanship.
I appreciate what you said about your office really has you know, overall sort of financial picture and be on the lookout for things that are going to impact the state of Montana's financial picture. And when you see the government running its deficits and deficits like it is, you're going to see inflation. You're going to see the state of Montana have a harder time making the dollars that we have go as far as they currently do if the government's going to cause inflation. And you know what? You know, it's interesting to me, you know, Jim, having just got back from spending two and a half weeks in Argentina. And frankly, I went there to study their economics, to study their financial system and their history. That's the original reason I wanted to go to Argentina. But you see places like that where they've actually done this in other countries. They've actually blown out the budget and they've done socialism. They've done massive spending. It's not a trick, or it's not confusing about what happens when you do that. You have inflation, you have government debt, you have, and of course, inflation and government defaults and things like that, of course, hurt the poorest of the poor, the absolute most. The wealthy in Argentina have never had a problem with their hyperinflation or government defaults or anything like that, because they're able to get their money converted into dollars and sort offshores and everything else. It's the lowest of the low that get hurt the most by inflation. And that's what you're going to see if the federal government doesn't keep this up. Well, we can keep talking about that stuff, Commissioner Brown, but I guess anything else on the crypto, the financial security front, before we maybe move on to some other things that you and your office have been working on?
I would just say that for those that are listening, 2025 is going to be an important year in American history, because this is the year where we are seriously talking about the digital economy and digital payments. By the end of this century, there's no doubt in my mind, I'm not going to be alive, certainly by the end of it. But my prediction is that by the end of this century, most of the payment systems in this country and across the world are going to be in the digital sphere.
Yeah, that I mean, it seems to make sense from a lot of perspective. I will say, I don't like digital payments. I mean, I like the ability to use cash. There's a lot of countries around the world that are moving away from cash. And you know what? It's really not all about efficiency. It's about being able to track people. I know, you know, for example, in Thailand, there's a lot of places that don't take cash anymore. In China, I don't think you can really pay with cash. And that's more about government tracking people than it is of anything else. And I think we want to avoid that outcome here.
Well, I'm a cash person, too. I just want to make that absolutely clear. And as you stated, if you want a model for how the digital economy can be abused, China is the model for that, right? Where they basically use the concept of social credit to control their people. And one of the ways they do that, of course, is they're pushing to get rid of the cash system and go to digital payments. And then, as you stated, you know, they can control their people. I would say this, I am certainly not for the federal government creating a digital currency that's operated by the federal government. I just think that is ripe for abuse.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We got another break here, folks. If you want to call in or send a message here, we'll get it to Commissioner Brown. We got a couple more segments left with him. I'm glad to hear his comment about cash and about the digital currency, because it's very important. We've got to always maintain the ability to pay with cash.
This month, Pure Talk is supporting Canines for Warriors, a terrific organization that trains rescue dogs and then pairs them up with combat vets struggling with PTSD. This is why I switched to Pure Talk. Sure, I like the unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $25 a month, and you will too. But you will love being in business with a company that shares your values. Dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Americans everywhere are on edge. The government shutdown has dragged on, and every day that passes, the markets grow more uncertain. When anxiety grips Wall Street, the first thing that takes the hit is your retirement savings, your IRA, your 401k. Everything you've worked for can suffer a loss of value virtually overnight. And now, with the Fed rate cut, precious metals are poised for dramatic gains in the coming weeks. That's why so many Americans are calling Advantage Gold at 800-741-GOLD to learn how to roll over a portion of their retirement funds into physical gold and silver. When paper assets crumble under government dysfunction and global tension, precious metals stand firm. Don't wait for the next market shock to erase what you've saved. Call Advantage Gold at 800-741-GOLD. Get your free gold kit now. It'll show you exactly how to secure your IRA or 401k with tangible assets. Call 800-741-4653 now. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-741-GOLD.
At your kitchen table, every dollar counts. But here in Helena, Representative Curtis Cochran voted for a 13.5% budget blowout. That's not fiscal restraint. That's government on a spending spree with your wallet. Missoula families make tough choices every day. It's time Curtis Cochran did the same. Visit AFPMontana.com. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
First month's rent, last month's rent, deposit, pet fee, admin fee, mystery fee. Why am I paying this much to live in someone else's house?
As low as 3% down.
Did that bird just talk? Seriously, this is thousands of dollars just to move in. I'm basically paying for the landlord's vacation.
You can own a home for as low as 3% down.
Okay, Polly, or whoever you are, what are you talking about?
Brand new energy-efficient Schultz homes. You can own one in a local manufactured home community for as little as 3% down.
Hold up. You mean on a home that only costs $120,000? That could be as low as $3,600. That's actually less than I'm about to drop on rent. And I'd own it?
That's right.
Okay, Bird, where do I go? Tell me fast before I write another red check.
Majestic Homes, 5202 Laurel Road in Billings. Ask for Walt or Jack, or call 406-248-1412.
I'm putting down the packing tape and picking up the phone.
Schultz Homes for Majestic Homes. Price for living, built for life.
3% down payment. Offer subject to credit approval. See Majestic Homes for full terms and details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Obel filling in. I'm getting feedback now. I can hear myself. It's going to make it a little bit hard to talk. Oh, you know what? There we go. I fixed it. Sorry. I got the thing on the wrong. Commissioner Brown, are you still there?
Yeah. Sorry. Feedback.
Okay, good. I'm pushing all sorts of buttons here. I'm not used to pushing. We got a message from Frances in Big Fork. She says, how much do the Democrats protecting illegal aliens contribute towards the deficit? I don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head, other than to say a lot. I guess Commissioner Brown, I would expand the question in terms of, you know, how does the existence of all of the illegal aliens that we have here in Montana and in the U.S. sort of impact your job more generally? And what is there anything you can do about it on your end?
Well, first of all, shout out to my friend Frances in Bigfork. Always glad to hear from her. Always enjoy running into her when I put up in the Flathead. So the short answer to that question is that the cost of illegal immigration is extremely high to U.S. citizens. I don't have the number in front of me, but to the specific question you asked, how does it impact my job? As you know, I'm the commissioner of insurance for the state of Montana. I can tell you this. The way that, you know, one of the things I talked about during my race in 2024 was the impact that illegal immigration was having on the insurance system. And then people would always come back to me and say, well, that's not true because the federal government prohibits illegal aliens from receiving Medicaid, for example. Except what people don't realize is that federal law requires urgent care or emergency rooms or hospitals to provide care on demand. Right now with illegal immigrants getting care at the national level, it is absolutely true that California, for example, has a program where they use state dollars, if you will, to provide insurance to illegal immigrants in their state. And then so one of the arguments that Democrats make is, well, look, federal dollars aren't being used for that. But David, you and I are both sophisticated enough to know that California is using federal dollars as the offset to allow state dollars to be used to pay for health care for illegal immigrants.
Well, yeah, money. I mean, money is fungible. If they don't spend it there, you can spend it somewhere else. I don't know why the Democrats are now running from this. I mean, I still remember the 2020, I don't know if it was 2024 primary, the 2020 primary, where somebody asked the Democrat candidates, like, hey, raise your hand if you think, you know, illegal aliens should be able to get health care in this country. And they all raised their hand. And so, you know, I don't really see why they're running away from this. They ought to just be honest, like they were during the primary for the Democrat nomination, and just admit, yeah, we want illegal aliens to be able to get health care paid for by the American citizen. And it's not only that. I mean, the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates are so low that it's actually the private insurance holders that are subsidizing the providers to get off of the government, low reimbursement rates, et cetera, et cetera. I know, Commissioner Brown, did I see something about you having to approve some of these new health insurance rates? And let's be honest, the health, cost of health insurance in this state and in this country is completely out of control. Chalk most of that up to problems at the federal level. But what are you seeing from your perspective?
Yeah, nice transition. This is something I wanted to talk about, so thanks for bringing it up. So just to clarify, so I am the commissioner of insurance. The authority given to me by the legislature is over private insurance companies. As you stated, more and more health care insurance is being provided by the federal government. With the passage of Obamacare in 2010 or 12 or whenever that was, that program in and of itself, I believe, took over 1/6 of the insurance market. I mean, think about that. I recently did an op-ed where I talked about how the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, is no longer affordable. We have seen significant rate increases since the law's passage, and we're going to see particularly steep hikes projected for 2026. So your listeners are going to be just astounded by this fact. From the rate increases since Obamacare passed, from 2013 to 2019, the national average premium for individual market coverage has increased by 129% in this country, 29% in 12 years. Absolutely unbelievable. Between 2015 and 2016, average benchmark plan premiums on the federal exchanges have risen anywhere between 10% to 30%. I mean, Congress has to do something about Obamacare because it's no longer becoming affordable. It's just the reality.
Yeah, and the problem is that it's not only did Obamacare subsidize the health insurance companies, and like Aaron Flint was talking about, what's the quickest, easiest way to make something completely and totally unaffordable? Well, let's have the federal government come in and either subsidize it or say it's free. It's just like tuition or anything else that the government gets involved with. It just goes sky high. But the problem is, too, then all of the federal regulations on top of it, I mean, they basically eliminated catastrophic health insurance plans, and frankly, maybe they ought to just get rid of some of those Obamacare regulations that got rid of, you know, catastrophic health insurance. I'm sitting there, you know, see, you can pay $25,000 to $30,000 a year in health insurance premiums for a healthcare policy that has a $15,000 to $20,000 deductible on it, and they don't consider that to be a catastrophic policy because it has all these other freebie things in it that they're required to provide under the Obamacare regulations. It's like, well, if I'm going to have to pay $30,000-$40,000 out of pocket even to see a benefit under one of these policies, the policy at least ought to be priced like a catastrophic policy and be very, very low cost. The problem is none of them are low cost. The whole thing has just been an absolute disaster. And I don't know how much data you've got at your office, but in terms of like the public education front, in terms of what's really going on with these different types of policies and who's paying what, why it's going up, I mean, maybe that could be another area where just getting some information out to the people could do a lot of good.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. One of the things that's been tasked by the legislature to me as the state auditor is to get out and have conversations with Montanans about what is going on in the insurance field and to educate Montanans about what's going on. And the formula that you were just talking about, which was very well done, by the way, David, is just that when you have a guaranteed payer, right, like the federal government for an insurance product, what do you think is going to happen? Well, we're going to have providers charging more because they know that there's a guaranteed payer. And one of the main drivers of increases in cost for insurance in this country is the fact that medical providers, the rate of inflation for medical care is doubling the rate of inflation for other matters. And so, I mean, you're having a cascading effect, right, is that providers know that they can get paid and they're increasing their costs.
And what are you seeing? What role do you have to play with, you know, like homeowners insurance, car insurance, those types of things? And what are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, all lines of insurance are increasing. In Montana, one of the most immediate and pressing issues that I'm dealing with as commissioner of insurance is homeowners insurance and the exploding cost of homeowners insurance due to wildfire risk, and also more troubling probably and perhaps is the number of cancellations that are going out to homeowners in the western part of the state who may live in the wildland urban interface. Insurance companies, as you know, for the last about 5 to 8 years in this country have taken a real beating in terms of catastrophic loss. We saw that with the LA fire in January, the most expensive catastrophe in U.S. history. And insurers are pulling back in a lot of markets, not wanting to take on risk, particularly related to wildfire. And that becomes a coverage issue for many Montanans.
Yeah, and don't forget us policyholders here in Yellowstone County having to deal with the increases due to all of these hail claims. Coming up on a break here, we do have Commissioner James Brown, State of Montana, Office of Securities and Insurance Regulator. We're going to be getting back with him here in 1 second. Got a couple of messages. Mike in Binktimber says, when was the last time an actual budget was actually proposed, not a CR? Good question. We'll ask Commissioner Brown right after this. Got one from Fred in the Flathead. Fred in the Flathead says, not exaggerating, our health insurance is over 25 grand a year for two people. Our deductible's over 14 grand. Yeah, the system's broken. The Democrats broke it.
turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I actually think that after the election on Tuesday, I think Eric Schmidt, who was on the program earlier, is going to be, his prediction is probably accurate. Sometime later next week, this thing opens up. They're waiting for the election. That's what I think. I don't like the idea because, look, you have to assume one day Democrats, I hope they don't, would get back in power. You know, I'd love it for Trump because you get the whole agenda through. And I guess you could argue that if we make things so amazing for the American people, they're never going to want to switch parties. But eventually there's an ebb and flow to political cycles, right? And there's only one Donald Trump. People ask, who's the next Donald Trump? I'm like, there is none.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. Newsmax has been terrific.
President Trump is right. Millions like you are tuning into Newsmax. You're watching Newsmax on cable. You're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and you're downloading our free Newsmax app on your smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more as they expose the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made us great. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. Let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. It's for real news, for real people. Make the switch today.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's David Noble filling in here. We are live. I'm not as good as Aaron Flint. We'll just put it that way. Commissioner Brown, we got this last segment. I don't know if you heard those last comments or if you want to respond to any of those or if you want to kind of jump into some other things your office is working on. We spent a lot of time on crypto. We spent some time on insurance, health insurance, auto or home insurance. Anything else you want to get into?
Well, I love that question about the congressional budget. It goes right to my heart and to my experience. One of the things, David, that I feel very fortunate in my life, I'm a middle-aged man now. I feel very lucky that in my 20s I got to work in the United States Congress as an aide for 6 years. It was a great learning experience. So the budget. So 1974, Congress passes the Congressional Budget Act and literally lays out the process for how this is supposed to work, where you have an orderly process for appropriations. And the first thing that's supposed to happen is that the president is supposed to submit a balanced budget by February 1st of each year. Well, that's no longer really happening, okay? Then by April, Congress is supposed to, through the budget committee, adopt the budget for the coming fiscal year. That never gets met anymore. In fact, the last time that Congress actually passed all its required appropriations was in 1997, when I was a congressional aide and 26 years old. And as the gentleman who called in stated, what they're doing now is they either pass a congressional or a CR or an omnibus. I mean, the system is broken. It's part of the process. The budget committee used to be one of the plum committees for Congress, and it's just a throwaway anymore. Until you get fiscal discipline in Congress, we're just not going to pull out of the economic spiral we have. It's the reality.
Well, and this whole thing, typically these CRs and these omnibuses, particularly the omnibuses, those are always drafted behind closed doors, and then they drop this 5,000-page thing and tell everybody to vote for it or the government's going to shut down. Or they do what we have now, which is a CR, just keep it going the same way. And I can't tell you how disappointing it is to see the Republicans out there fighting tooth and nail to pass a CR that continues with the Joe Biden era spending. I mean, that's what your Republican Party at the national level is fighting, to continue the spending at Biden era levels. Now, they've got their plan of doing these other appropriation packages and everything else. But like you talked about, Commissioner Brown, it's like these appropriators only are appropriating 25% or so of the actual spending, and everything else is just on autopilot, and that stuff is not getting fixed. It really, I mean, we're living in a world today where Argentina is running a fiscal surplus, and we are going further into debt here in the United States. It's really kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is. The point that I want to highlight from what you stated was, as you stated, the fight right now in Congress is over the last budget proposal the Biden administration has submitted for 24-25. I want your listeners to even think about that for a minute.
Yeah, it really is. Well, hey, we've only got like a minute here left. Commissioner Brown, got one message here from Joyce in Bozeman. Someone mentioned when all the Democrats raised their hand for health care for illegal aliens. Of course, health care is available. They're talking about health insurance. I shouldn't have to pay for insurance for anyone else with the exception of disability and the elders. Thank you for that, Joyce in Bozeman. Commissioner Brown, hoping to get you on by the end of the week one more time. Thanks so much for joining us. Any closing comments?
Always a pleasure to talk to you, David. You do a great job filling in for Aaron. I always appreciate the substantive discussions we have.
I as well. Thank you so much for being here. And like I said, when I heard Aaron Flint talking to Commissioner Brown down there in D.C., and they were talking about crypto, and they just didn't have enough of time to finish that conversation, I was like, I've got to have Commissioner Brown back on the show here. Hopefully we'll get him here towards the end of the week as well. But we got one more hour left. We are live. We're taking phone calls and messages. David Noble in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. As you know, I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We'll be right back.
From the Mattress Firm Studio, this is KBUL News Talk AM 970 and 103.3 FM. Home of Montana Talks with Aaron Flint and the biggest names in talk radio 24 hours a day.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KBUL.